Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November the 2nd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, like where she's been last month.
I haven't been on your show.
Yeah, it's all right. All right. Our quote this morning comes from Walt Whitman. I say you shall... Boy, you know, even a simple quote sometimes gets complicated. I say you shall yet find the friend you were looking for. Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep looking.
How about you find the friend you were looking for? There we go. I'll just kind of cut that one down. There.
All right.
Find the friends you look for.
Good to know.
All right. Yeah, that's Papstein's proverb. So what took you out of the neighborhood the last little bit?
You know, October was really busy. Couple different conferences. I had one really great opportunity. We'll talk a little more in depth later. But most recently, I came back from a LAFCO conference, which is the Local Agency Formation Commission. Most people don't really know what that is because it does a lot of work that most people aren't aware of. But it basically, it's really cool because it consists of city officials, county officials, special district electeds, and public members. And so when you go to these conferences, you get a real variety that you don't see when you just go to something that's only to your type of government. Because you've got the public members there who have
Keep
a great
honest.
Interest. Well, they bring a different perspective to the table, I have to say. But it's also funny that how a lot of the public members eventually become elected members or former elected members end up going to the public members because it kind of gets in your blood.
So it is kind of like a club.
Well, it is, but you have to have a real desire and special interest to understand how this body works. You know, when you're talking of annexation and expansion of boundaries and creation of districts, there's a lot of moving parts. And LAFCO also has the stated goal of, you know, basically it's efficient delivery of services and also to prevent sprawl. And, you know, you can only imagine the very different
decisions.
Are we trying
to create sprawl around here?
Well, not so much around here. They're looking at their goal is preservation of prime ag land, which is mostly what a lot of folks around here also hold very high as an important goal. So, say a city was a certain size and they wanted to annex this whole big area that was prime land to do a development, but they had area still in their city that they could build on, LAFCOs could look at that and say, you know, that's not really where you need to go right now. You've got room in your own boundaries
but
to do that.
But what city would want to incorporate additional infrastructure costs when the efficient ones are inside?
You give property taxes. I mean, if you got houses or if it's a business development, there'd be sales tax. You know, and
right.
then you
but
also
my understanding was that they had to be revenue neutral.
They do have to be revenue neutral. That's why cities don't incorporate now
the way that we used to. Yeah,
but the fact is, from LAFCO's perspective, the prime ag lands should be preserved when possible if there are the other opportunities to build in. So it's interesting. But
so you got other jurisdictions then,
lots
determining what your jurisdiction is able to do.
Yep, there's what,
that's kind of like the argument that Arcata had against wanting to have Walmart here 10, 12 years ago because they were somehow going to be impacted negatively by having Walmart in Eureka.
Well, and I think that's why they've got a body of all the groups together and everyone has a decision-making perspective.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass, Virginia LAFCO, and some of these other alphabet soup government jurisdictions. Is it a concern that the regular public, the general public, really doesn't know what's going on or stay abreast? I mean, I remember LAFCO meetings used to be really exciting, and then they kind of fell out of vogue, and now nobody really even knows that they happen unless there's a press release every once in a while.
Well, they go in cycles. I think, you know, every 5 years, LAFCO itself has to review everybody's service area and everybody's boundary areas. And so, you know, there's the regular meeting. It's every other month. And these things cycle around. Where it usually gets to be more exciting is when there's a proposal brought forward that has some, you know, creates some angst in the community.
Controversy always does that.
This is true. Controversy always provides for a very, you know, impassioned audience and a lot of exciting meetings.
What was the last controversial issue you guys had at the soups that got people out that were both sides, nice representation, normal presentation, not owe my special interest group, blah, 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 and you got 40 people saying the same thing over and over and over and over.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a lot of very involved cannabis meetings, but there were basically the same people coming. I'd have to think maybe during some of the talk of declaring a shelter crisis or that we should have that come forward. But something
that was some time ago, wasn't it?
Well, it's
not to jinx the future,
it's rotational. It's winter again. Well, here's, you know, there'll be some more conversation. You know, sometimes it's union activity, perhaps with the IHH, the in-home health providers. Several years ago, we had a lot of interest from the community, from varying sides. It came
but
out.
You're
so that was
to
like
go
2 years
back years
ago,
rather than last month. We
yeah,
talked
well,
about this. Or
you just
this month.
How do I say it? You just never know when it might happen. Something that you think is going to be, you know, easy peasy turns out being loaded, and you have no idea until you're actually in the middle of it.
In the middle of it, the whirlwind. Yeah, understood. So with the LAFCO and the discussions that occur in those meetings, is there a lot of significant stuff that happens, or is it tidying up business?
With LAFCO meeting, you mean
yeah.
the ones here? There a lot of it's tidying up and getting things, you know, in order to be brought to the board. You've got to make findings and, you know, basically check all the information and their staff to do that. But it gets exciting once it comes back to the board where you have to make a decision. There was one, maybe a year ago, where we decided to not go with staff's recommendation, which is very unusual because by the time it comes to us, it's been pretty well vetted out. But there was an annexation over in the Sunnybrae area that the city of Arcata wanted to do, and we all felt by the time it was all said and done, it wasn't the right thing to do. And so that's, you can have some very meaty conversation and votes that go where you would not have expected. It doesn't happen as often.
So how does the balance or comfort level, let's say McKinleyville Community Services District, and they want to do a whatever, but they have to go to LAFCO to get the whatever authorized, I guess. They come, they have their discussion, their community, their areas in favor of it. How could somebody from a special district who's on the board from 15, 20, 30, 50 miles away, why would they think that their opinion should matter? If this is their area and they feel comfortable with it and they're strongly for it. I mean, it seems like it opens really a Pandora's box.
Well, you know, this isn't something Humboldt County came up with. This is legislation called the Cortese-Knox-Herzberg Act. So however they decided, you know, that it was a good idea, it was put together by people some time ago. I think what you have, though, is you have special district members that are put on because they're voted on by all of the special districts, you know, their representations, just, you know, there's a city representative, there's two county representatives, see, the special district and the public. And, you know, that's almost like if something came for the city of Fortuna, you know, would Sue Long be expected to recuse herself? It's like, no, unless there's financial interest that's involved.
If something was happening in Fortuna, should Frank Yeager, as the mayor of Eureka, have any influence on that at all?
Yes, because we look at the county as a whole. That is how it's set up. Yeah, you know, I didn't make up the rules. I'm just the chair right now.
No, and, but you're carrying the banner very nicely.
Well, you know, we've never had, I've never seen something where you've had the personal interest that I think most boards do try to defer to the person who, just like we do on the Board of Supervisors, if there's an issue in a district, often we'll say, well, you know, what do you think about this? How is this affecting you? Not that it means it's going to make the decision, but I think everyone that I've seen so far, I haven't seen anyone come forward with a preconceived idea that they're going to stomp down a project just because they don't like it, but they live at the other end of the...
But you dealt with it when you were on the Eureka City Council with Target and with Walmart and the attempt at Home Depot. Those outside the jurisdiction.
Yes, but they weren't allowed to vote. They couldn't vote on the project. They could come and talk as much as they want, and we take all that into consideration no matter what your group you're on, but the voting board members have to, you know, try to keep an open mind.
Okay.
Is that why you're not on a board?
Yeah, that could be a very close to the heart reason. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Okay.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Talk shop presented by Redick and by CDH Painting. You said you were out of town an awful lot in October. I can't imagine they were all at LAFCO-related events.
No.
Oh, good. So what was more exciting than LAFCO?
Actually, I think my most amazing opportunity I've had for a long time, or maybe ever in this position of government, happened. And I got the opportunity to go back with a group from California. There were eight of us, sponsored by the Mental Health Services Act Oversight and Accountability Committee. And what they were doing is they're looking at what's called the intersection of mental health and incarceration. And the idea is
Humboldt County. Okay.
Well, no, it's across the nation. And that's what the point of this was, is there are other places throughout the nation who are dealing with this much better. We've got people who really don't belong in jails. They're not going to get better in jails. In fact, they're going to get worse. And they get to know bad people who are in there in jail. And so the real, you know, key to what I saw would be diversion. And we went to San Antonio, Texas, where they have the Restoration Center. And then we also went to Miami, Florida, to Dade County. And both of these areas have, you know, amazingly huge facilities, but they're kind of like the one-stop areas. They have hundreds of community partners. You know, you've got people bringing millions of dollars to the table to make this work, but they're able to divert people very early. You know, right now we see some diversion. You know, we have say the MIST team, City of Eureka and County of Humboldt can help some of these folks that are they interact with, and they don't end up in jail. They get them to the, a place where they can get better treatment and get better or find a living space. But jail isn't the best option. And it's amazing on the national level just what some of the communities have done. And so the National Association of County has this initiative called the Steppin' Up Initiative, which is basically let's look at diversion. Let's keep people out of the incarceration system because once they get in, it's recycling, you know, recycling phenomenon, and it doesn't really help anybody. So
is the focus for this on the individual, or is the focus on this on the impact the individual has to the community?
I think it's both. I mean, and it's not just, I should say, it's not just mental health. What I saw there was a lot in regards to, you know, say people who have addiction. They had the sobering unit, which was there, that I got to go in and we watched. And you think of sobering units being for people that are, we see in the paper, arrested every day, right? I mean, that's a place.
I would think anybody got popped on a DUI.
Well, no, you can't go there on a DUI because that is a crime. But someone that just has drunk in public, you know, the money of booking them, the cost of booking them every day and them being in jail gets pretty astronomical. So they have the sobering unit, which is interesting. It's not just folks like that. The people who are working there said, you know, it's the college students who, you know, cut loose on the town. It's the tourists. And you think, you're right, these people don't need records. You know, you have something, you drink too much and you're silly in public. Is the best place for you in jail and being in the system with a record? Probably not. So anyway, it's diversion has many different points, but it's about saving the community money. But at the same time, some people, you know, I can tell a story of someone that a family member of someone I know personally, where their life would be much different. This person had some mental health issues, ended up being arrested as a stalker because someone was concerned, right? Goes in, he suffers from a mental health disorder. They put him in a small cell to protect him from, you know, from the others. When you're in a 5x7 cell and you pace back and forth, it doesn't make you feel any better, and it pushes you further over the edge. This poor person has gone into a state facility. Had this been available, that person could have been diverted out of that piece of the system. I mean, when you think about people that end up in a cycle that they can't get out of, and the cost it is to the community, but also to that person, it's scary. Anyway, you just put a personal
twist on it.
Well, look at it. If it was your kid that happened to, would you have wanted to have that opportunity available?
Yeah, it depends on the day.
As he's looking at you right now as we talk. But
the concern I've got, I mean, it sounds neat if there's enough cash flow. San Antonio is a little bit bigger than Humboldt County. Dade County certainly is.
Oh, no, these are huge
bigger
facilities.
So when you talk about the monies, the infrastructure, the base reference to the ongoing cost of this, it seems like a regional facility would be the only option in the small rural areas like we have. And even then, it might kind of be a coin toss if it could cover itself and not increase the public indebtedness for more government services.
I think what we do first is we bring the pieces back that work for our community. That doesn't have to be the whole, believe me, would it be nice to have that? We're not going to have the whole shebang, but there are things we can bring back, and we're having meetings. We're working on making some of that work. And the state of California is actually pulling together a Steppin' Up initiative for the state, and we're starting meetings in January to try to see how we can help counties make parts of this happen, if not the whole thing.
KLAS News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Virginia.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website,
theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show
on KINS 106.3 FM,
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley,
and KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, the concept of Stepping Up, is that?
Yes, the okay. Stepping Up Initiative.
Sounds good. Kind of sounds like what we used to have here with Blue Heron, with Family Recovery Services, with some of these various programs that were here as options for incarceration, but the money's disappeared. Probably because it became too costly, or the state requirements for certain things were out of sight, and it just the demand was not waning. It just seemed like the financials started to slip. With the discussion you had, and now with the reflection of a week or so, is this reallocating DHHS funding to allow for something like this, or is this another level of taking money?
You know, I can see it being, there's a combination. Yes, DHHS, there certainly be some, I'm sure, monies that get, you know, used for the purposes. In San Antonio, the cities actually pay for a portion because it saves, whether it's saving them is time of the officers being out of patrol or waiting in a hospital, and they don't
so
have to
not
pay
net money,
and they don't have to pay for booking fees. I mean, you just kind of look at the different ways of, you know, where are the pluses and minuses. But what I think they really rely on in the other
jurisdictions
I saw are the community partners. Like I said, they each have over 100 community partners. Some of those are the business community. I mean, they've had major investment by people who have a stake in the community, that like the guy who owned Valero Gas, I guess, put like $10 million in to start it. You know, and his thing was, it's not to, you know, let people do nothing. It's to help them get moving along their way in life. Similar to what I think Betty Chin, you know, what Betty does is don't give them a handout, give them a hand up. But they have where the community
do
partners.
Do we have enough community partners here with all of the other stuff that they're look to? And I know that this is kind of the new cool trend of trying to generate some revenues because of the tax burden otherwise. What is the carrying capacity? Do we support this and not support the theater? Or this and not the zoo? Or this and, you know, because it's still going to be relatively a fixed sum.
Well, I think what we have to do first is what's relevant for each of our communities. You know, what is the first step? I think maybe my phrase, my thought for stepping up, maybe I'm going to kind of rephrase in my mind. It's like, we're not going to get it all. What are the steps we need to take to start making a difference? And
what works for our area?
Yeah. So right now, like I said, I'm working a lot with Probation Chief Bill Damiano, who's very invested in this project as well. We need to get the courts involved because, quite frankly, you know, our courts have not been able to provide the same amount of diversion opportunities. I'm not kidding. There's like seven different types of diversion courts in some of these places, whether it's mental health diversion court, addictions, you know, I mean, I can't even go through, I have the list at home, but I thought, wow, they really get down to the nitty-gritty. And they built a new jail in San Antonio that they haven't had to use. I mean, that's how much that they have. I'm wondering, that must be kind of strange. A little bit of a waste of money, you think?
I'm wondering when they're going to legalize in Texas. Thanks for coming by.
Wow.
I'm sure we'll
hear
more.
That's the next discussion.
I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about this as time goes on. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.